countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Yes, we only ever intended on going out for a couple of minutes, you know, a nice relaxed paddle, not a excursion out to Inishere anyway. For sure, that was never ever the plan. It was just going to be a quick in and out. You know, it was a lovely evening, so why not?
Yeah, and you had been out to Silver Strand with Ellen before.
Yeah, it was, you know, felt like a similar kind of nice, still evening, and it was lovely. Like, it's gorgeous being out in the water like that, and the sky is so beautiful, and everything seemed absolutely fine. It was nice, the conditions seemed fine, it didn't seem windy, the water felt still. And we just obviously hadn't realised how far out we'd gone, and then kind of went and looked and looked, oh, we're very far, not really thinking much of it at the time, and saying, oh, we better just turn around in case, you know, thinking of my mom had brought the dog and she was walking the dog on the beach and, you know, wouldn't want to be freaking her out or anything, so just best to turn around. And it was almost straight away then that we kind of realised that we had gotten into a bit of difficulty. Because it was almost impossible to get the board to fully turn around, and each time we did, it would nearly just do kind of 180 degrees straight away again, so there wasn't really any moving at that point. And then you're kind of realizing this isn't a good situation.
Right, okay, so the wind was catching the board then, presumably. Yeah. At that point,
yeah, it didn't even feel overly windy at the time. Do you know, I wasn't fully sure if it's the current or the wind or what, but must have been the wind and just stopping us kind of making any progress at all.
Right. So you kept Furbo in your sights then?
Yeah. We still were just a straight line out, and we could still see the beach and see kind of Porkeens there, see the cars passing on the road. We weren't miles and miles out or anything, but I suppose when you're that far out, it's hard from the beach to make out exactly where we are.
So you made the decision very quickly to lash the boards together then?
Yeah, just, you know, we thought even maybe if there was two of us paddling together that we might be stronger and able to kind of move more, and even just for kind of security reasons, if someone was to drift out further, it's just a better idea that we're both together just in case. There was a strap on one of the boards. I don't think that's what it was intended for, I'm not sure, but it was only on one of them, and then we managed, Ellen kind of clipped it on to, there's like netting on the front of each of the boards, so it wasn't indestructible, like, but it was, you know, it made do for the time being anyway, we thought. And there was ankle straps on each of the boards, so we're both attached that way as well, because it was such a nice evening still, and it was still bright and everything at that stage, so you're not really thinking about the cold at all. And even the weather stayed good for a while, and the water wasn't that cold either. The water actually felt quite warm for a long time. And I suppose your body is kind of, with the panic and the shock, you're not feeling it for a while anyway. And it probably wasn't until after it got dark and the fear kind of sets in that you've realized this is really cold and it's not going to get any warmer. And yeah.
So it was dark then when you heard the first boat, was that, or saw the first boat?
Yeah, I'd say we could have even been out there for an hour or 2 hours by the time, but what felt like an hour or 2 hours, you know, we don't really have best concept of time when you're out there with no watch or anything. Yeah, it did. It felt like a while before we saw what looked like lights coming towards us, but it's hard to judge the distance and things when you're out there. And at this point it's dark and you don't know, is that even, could have been lights from a car on the road nearly, you know, it's very difficult to make out what's going on until it was coming what seemed like right for us, and then you realize, okay, that is on the water, it's a bright light, that's someone looking for us now there. So then you kind of get that initial sense of relief, like, oh, you know, this is, because we knew obviously that people would have been looking for us, and my mom would have been scared out of her mind and having to go and arrange for someone to go out and get us, but you just have no idea of how difficult that's going to be and everything that entails.
Then it started raining.
Yeah, as the night went on, then the weather kind of took a turn, It was quite heavy rain, and the water, it did feel quite choppy. The waves were quite big. Yeah, I heard thunder and saw lightning, and you know, it's not a good sign when you see the helicopter kind of going in, obviously assuming that that's because of the stormy weather, and you kind of,
yes,
you know, that doesn't really bode well for us. Yeah, no, the weather was rough, which didn't help. We had seen the first initial boat, and then not long after, another what looked like a bigger boat as well, and they're both kind of what almost felt like circling us, or you know, obviously they're doing laps or lengths of the bay or whatever way they go about doing it. And then at one point one of the boats set off a flare, which felt like, again, that it was very close to us. You know, that light was so bright, we thought even that light would be enough for them to see us. And then not long after that, then the helicopter came out, with the first helicopter. Do you know, when it's dark and stuff, and obviously there's so much water, it is very hard to judge the distance, but that is, it felt like they were very close.
And you were yelling and...
Yeah, screaming. And obviously with the sound of the boats and the wind and everything, the noise just doesn't carry, but that's not something you'd think about. You think, oh, this is so loud, surely this can be heard from the beach even. Because we had started screaming earlier on, even when it was still bright, when we first got into difficulty, because, you know, thinking, oh, my mom probably wouldn't even realize that we needed help at this point. And, oh, she'll hear us screaming and she'll call someone.
Yeah.
And obviously the noise just doesn't carry. There's so much space. The water is so vast and you can't hear anything really.
Yeah. You had meteor showers and...
Like, there was the bioluminescence in the water, which, you know, for even just a split second, it's one small distraction and it's amazing. And it's gorgeous to look at, obviously. And the meteor showers, I'd say between the two of us now, there were some amount of wishes made on those. And like dolphins in the morning, like that stuff, it is obviously incredible, but I would hate to give anyone the impression that this was some big adventurous night, you know, that's not at all the reality, you know. Any little thing like that to lift the spirits was definitely welcomed and I would say required. Yeah, Ellen's a big Taylor Swift fan and she has a beautiful singing voice, so, you know, that's great. I'm happy to do anything at all that was gonna lift the mood for even a short while.
But you probably had a greater sense of the danger you were in.
I don't know if at Ellen's age would I have had, would have seen so many horror stories about water. I don't think I would have been aware of that really. Ellen probably was and had total understanding over what was going on, but neither of us really communicated that to each other. You know, we didn't really say that out loud at the time, because that is, I think if we'd started talking like that, it's just another level of hopelessness that we didn't need. Yeah, I know definitely though for sure, that's a huge thing on my mind the whole night was, nobody gets out of this situation. After each time that a boat feels like it's passing you or the helicopter goes over you and they don't see you, you realise then that it's a lot more serious than you initially thought. And, you know, lots of people don't get the ending that we did in that situation. So that's definitely on your mind the whole time.
But you kept it together.
Yeah, as much as we could, you know, just... I think as well, because the two of us were there, you're doing it for yourself, but also the other person. Like, if I had started talking like that and, you know, freaking out and panicking and crying, that makes things a million times more difficult for Ellen, and it would have been the same the other way around. Like, I wouldn't have been able to hold it together if she had been in a state of panic. So it was, you know, I definitely think you're doing it for the other person as well, as much as yourself.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Studying psychology, does that help?
No, I don't know, to be honest. I don't think I was really drawing on any concrete ideas or theories or anything when I was out there. It was just action, and your body just kind of takes over. It wasn't really a conscious decision like, oh no, Ellen, we need to keep calm or anything like that. It was just it was understood by both of us that that was our only hope and our only option, I think.
Right. What you both did is what people would like to think they would do, but they're not sure that they could.
Well, I definitely wouldn't have thought that I would do that either in that situation. And again, if I was on my own, definitely would not at all have been able to do that. I don't know what I've lasted an hour on my own. So we're very, very lucky that the two of us managed to stay together and were able to keep it together. It was very foggy in the morning. The weather was still quite poor, like it was still raining, and the waves were, it was hard to even see not so far ahead of you because the waves were coming up so high. There was enough light to make out the Cliffs of Moher behind us, and then you're kind of realizing where you are, and that's Aran there, and that's the big gaping hole in between that is further out into the ocean.
The last time you'd seen a boat or a helicopter had been during the night.
It had been the previous night, yeah. We didn't see anything for a long time the following day. And obviously that's the one thing that we had in our minds the previous night, is we just need to wait until it gets bright and everything will be much easier. You know, the fact that the boats and the helicopters had come what felt like so close and hadn't seen us, you kind of realised they're not going to get any nearer than that, so we were not going to be found when it was dark. So the whole time just waiting for that, the light to come, and holding on to hope then that everyone would be looking first thing in the morning and that they'd spot us no problem.
Right, okay. So then you have the fog, and then the fog lifts, and then you see where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, you decide to try and paddle up towards Inishere.
At that point, we had just said that we would, you know, paddle full strength in. I think we tried every direction at one stage, you know, whatever land would be possible. We were, you know, not totally familiar with the wind and what way it would be bringing us. We just knew we were being pushed backwards, so maybe if we tried to go towards Aran, that the wind would help carry us that way, or if we'd gone towards Clare, it would have been easier than going straight ahead. So we just tried it all, and just impossible, like it wasn't happening. And further up ahead then we spotted a buoy or some lobster pot or something up ahead, and we thought, okay, last option now, if we could just get to that and hang tight. Because, you know, you're using a lot of effort and a lot of physical strength, but also, like, it's mentally draining too, you know, when you're paddling, and it's, you know, that you're not going to be able to keep that up much longer. Like, we weren't going to be able to continue paddling where we were indefinitely to stop ourselves being pushed out in that gap. So we knew we needed something, and we saw the boys up ahead and just tried and tried. It was quite a distance up ahead, but just thought, somehow we don't have a choice. And yeah, then when we couldn't do that, it was extremely discouraging, and turned around then, and it was like another one had just appeared out of thin air, and that was really, really needed at that point. And obviously being able to stay put there with the boy from the lobster pot was probably what saved us, really. Yeah, so there was just kind of netting on the front of each board, and there was the two boys that we were able to put one on each, and then at least then there was less urgency and less pressure to stay paddling and using that effort.
So did you feel at that point, we've got a chance now?
Definitely hoped, you know. It was definitely really concerning to me that it had been bright for hours at this point, and that we hadn't seen anyone. So you're kind of starting to think then, are we just too far out? you know, are people, you know, maybe they don't realize that we could have come this far, this direction. And it was terrifying, you know, to have those thoughts. And you're obviously thinking as well that they're probably going to have assumed a certain outcome at this point. When the first light hit and we hadn't been found, I'm obviously very aware what our families and friends and everyone is thinking, and they probably weren't thinking that they'd find us in the condition we were in. And you're kind of afraid then, maybe does their search tactic change? Are they looking more along the beach for us to have washed up? Or, you know, I don't think our families anyway would have been expecting us to be as okay as we were.
So you didn't have a great sense of relief. It was just more that it gave you a break.
Yeah, pretty much. Even just for our bodies, because it takes a lot to be paddling against the wind and against the waves that are pushing us back the way. So at least then we were able to just relax. I don't know if that's the right word, but take a break as much as we could and hope for some kind of brainwave or idea or something. You know, obviously we knew people would be looking for us, but we had no idea to the extent of what was going on. So you're kind of thinking, oh, even if it's not one of the boats or the helicopter that find us, you know, it could be a ferry boat from Clare over to Arran that spot us, or a random fisher boat, or the planes that go to Arran, you know. I don't know, was there any proper sleep got really, you know, but... you know, resting. Yeah, we were able to take it in turns, which was great. But again, you do have that fear of if I stop and if I lie down and if I'm, you know, when you're that cold and your body is that tired, you know, will you be able to get up from that and to do, if it's required later on, you know, it's very scary. It had been hours since the light broke, and that was obviously the only kind of concept of time, you know. Well, when there was some kind of visibility that it must be shortly after 5, and then as the sun came up, okay, it's after 6, but after that then you don't really have any concept of time. So it was only that it was what felt like hours and hours after that I spotted what looked like the outline of something. You know, I probably didn't even realize that it was a boat at that point, you know, because it was so far away and so small. And as well at this point, just very tired. You'd be afraid that it's your mind telling you that you're seeing something that doesn't exist, especially as well after the amount of times the previous night that false alarms almost where you think, this is it over now. It was only then that it came closer and I kind of realized that's definitely a boat anyway, whether they're looking for us or coming for us, that's a boat there, and we need to get their attention. We don't really have any other choice here. So I said it to Ellen and we extended out the paddles as far as they go, as high as they go, and just started waving them and hoped that they'd see us, they'd spot us. And obviously they did, and they got closer and closer. And even when they were so close, still not feeling real that they had seen us. So you're still waving. They're probably thinking, I can see you now, it's fine. But we're still, and then I think when it hit that they were right in front of us, that's when the relief hits in, and it was just total disbelief and shock. And it was almost like the reality of the whole night kind of hits you all at once like a ton of bricks. I don't think either of us really had much power left in our legs at all, and I suppose with the excitement of it all it still felt quite urgent at that point, even though obviously we were safe then, but it felt very urgent, like get on the boat now. And she kind of hopped up, probably not realizing that her body wouldn't be so agile at that stage. Yeah, she just kind of fell on the board then, but it wasn't, you know, we were safe at that point, so there was no problems.
Yeah, okay. But did you fall into the sea at that point?
I did, but it was, you know, I had my hands on the board still, and it was, I think she got a bit of a fright, yeah. thinking that she'd knocked me off, but I knew at that point we were there. They had Patrick and Morgan had thrown a rope onto the boards. If they'd come that far, there was no way they were gonna stop that from saving us. So it's almost like violently shaking with the cold, very, very cold. And I'd be a cold person anyway, and you just don't know how long your body can do that. You know, I mentioned earlier that I've been swimming in the sea a lot this summer and I've been really enjoying it and stuff, but after, you know, 20 minutes or so, even on a nice day, my teeth would start chattering and it's like, okay, it's time to go in now. So this was definitely a step up from that. And yeah, just freezing, very, very cold.
Yeah.
Everything they could, they threw at us. It was, you know, when you're out there, you're thinking that all these people are going to be looking, and you nearly have it in your head that when they do find you, if they find you, that you're going to be in some sort of trouble, you know, the stress and everything that you cause people. And they were just so kind, you know, the instant that we were on the boat, just feeling so safe. Yeah. And they were just so wonderful, and like that, every bit of clothes they had, you know, they're tucking us in, making sure we were warm. They gave us their hats, like everything. Yeah. They had food, drinks, everything. We were so, so well looked after, as if them taking time out of their day and deciding to come out to look for us wasn't enough. You know, to be met with that kindness and feeling of safety was just incredible. I had it in my mind that people would be frustrated and annoyed. Obviously, I know family and friends and stuff are going to be worried sick, but everyone else, it's, you know, are people going to be thinking that this is two kind of reckless girls who haven't given this any thought and don't care about the risk of this happening and these people coming out looking for them? So that's definitely a horrible, horrible feeling. Obviously, if I could go back, we wouldn't have gone out at all.
But it was a lovely evening.
Yeah.
It's a lovely thing to watch.
The fact that there was such a happy ending to this, that is something that we can take from it. You know, these people that go out and take time out of their own lives without hesitating and put their own safety at risk to go out and look for people that they don't know. You know, these people really are heroes. And the rest of us who love the sea and enjoy the sea and doing these, you know, amazing, wonderful activities, we owe it to these people to do everything we can to keep ourselves safe, so that, you know, these efforts that they are making aren't in vain, and that, you know, it's only when it's absolutely required and when these accidents happen that they have to come out and do these things, and it's not for mindlessness or, you know, anything else. And do everything that we can if we do find ourselves in bother that is gonna help them find us, find you, find whoever it is quicker, you know.
Yeah.
Life jackets are a must, you know, there's no question about it. Everyone going out doing any of these activities needs to wear a life jacket. And every single detail about this story is so delicate, and had something been different, the outcome would have been very different. And obviously the life jackets are a huge part of that. Very, very important that everyone wears a life jacket, always. And even things like a light, you know, it might seem like it's being overly cautious if you're going out on a paddleboard for what you plan on being 15 minutes or so, to have a light or your phone with you. You don't think you need it, but it's very easy to just have a waterproof pouch with you where you can have these things. We were brought from the boat to the helicopter. We were able to walk at that point, but there were definitely people helping us, and everyone that we met along the way was so kind and helpful and nice. And yeah, it was lovely.